This is a great reality that you moms know that we dads and others don't. You know what it's like to do all of those things you saw on the little sticks earlier and a whole bunch more. That was only a sampling. So you know that, and I don't. I'm a dad, of course, but I'm not altogether sure what moms do, though I've had a front row seat to 21 years of watching my Debbie be a mom, and many more years watching my mom be my mom. But it leaves me in a sort of a handicap, not knowing exactly what it would be like. So we know it's a lot of work, but we also know it's sort of some lighthearted moments as well. So we thought we would show you a little video, if I'm not the only one here this morning who wonders, what's motherhood all about? That's good. That's good. Well, I hope you haven't lost your humor, moms. At least when you do lose it, you get it back soon. I'm just, show of hands, is it really all worth it, moms? Is it? Okay, good. Hold on, keep your hand handy. Is it true you wouldn't change the experience for anything? Some of you are adding little disclaimers to your response. I have little doubt that the piece of advice given at the end is also true, moms would say, and that is a good sense of humor. It is one, wouldn't you say, of the most valuable assets, important things you need when it comes to being a mom. Amen? Yeah. I think I know why, too. I've thought about why is humor such an important part of really parenting, moms and dads. And I think it's this is my sort of explanation. It's what you do is serious stuff. I mean, it really is. It's weighty stuff. If you had a needle sort of that measures serious, you probably could say motherhood pegs that needle. You know, there's other things you can do that are important, you know, pay attention in school and so on, but moms and her role is real serious, and after all, you're building a life, right? I mean, that's what motherhood is all about. It's building this son or daughter, and building them to adulthood. It's kind of a weird thing. You're thinking, man, will they get there? And you worry sometimes. You pray other times. You pace the floor. I'm curious, how many moms would say that scene where the dad was, rocking a bag of water, but yours was a baby? How many would say that that was a fairly descriptive scene from being a mom of little people? Only more frequently? Yeah, through the night? I wouldn't know. I slept through most of those, but I appreciate that. And I think we can agree that what you do, mom, is a big deal. It's a big deal. And it's a weighty one at that. So today my reminder is, you could see it in your outline, maybe you saw it ahead of today on the internet. As you build a life, which is what you do as a mom, keep it light. Okay, that's the challenge today. I will tell you a caveat that is on my mind every time Mother's Day approaches. And that is, there are certain moms that are not here this morning. maybe their family took them to the tulips and found that there's raindrops that go with that. I don't know, but I know some moms that aren't here because it's too hard to be here on Mother's Day. My heart goes out to them. They are moms that look back on a lifetime of raising a son or daughter and they regret. They would etch-a-sketch the past as quickly as they could and start over if they could. And I had one write me this week saying, "Dear Pastor, I know this isn't your first rodeo." What a great way to start it. But I got to tell you, I've stayed away from Mother's Day in church for a long, long time because you're doing what is appropriate to do, honor moms, and affirm them and say, Mom, keep at it. You're doing something that absolutely an army couldn't do. And I really believe that. But this mom has the indelible memory of a stillborn baby. So those are the caveats. Those are the things that are on my mind. At the same time, we try to smile and we laugh, and that's good too. But I just want you to know whether you're aware of someone like that, now would be a good time to remember to pray for them. Maybe reach out to them. They are not smiling quite the same way that other moms would today. And that aside, I want to bring it back to something light, okay? So I came across a really funny cartoon. I thought this kind of captured the importance of mom. A funny cartoon from Saturday Evening Post. Anybody remember that? Man, that's going way back. But it showed a young boy about 5 or 6 years old talking on the telephone. And it wasn't a cell phone in that day. And saying, well, Mom is in the hospital, and the twins, and Roxy, and Billy, and Sally, and the dog, and me, and Dad, we're all home alone. I cracked up. I just thought, what a perfect understanding by that little guy of how important Mom is. You're that important, and you're that, I would use words like necessary and vital, Mom. But because it's serious stuff that you do, there's a potential that you could actually do the job of mothering with that look on your face like you just had a root canal without Novocaine. I mean, you know, it's the, hi, get your clothes on and get the skull. You know that look? I'm not going to do it again because I could hurt myself just like I did a few weeks ago. So you get the idea? So I made a list of decision points that moms face. And I think this is real. This is from the annals of McCracken life, okay? So I had three of them. Mom, your goal is to raise your kids to have good manners. Mom, is that true? Come on. Some of you are going to give up a long time ago. Forget that. Won't work. So your goal is to raise them to have good manners, but you also know that sometimes a food fight is a great moment in family life. And they actually do this in some cultures. Burping after a meal is a memory maker for your kids. Now, Mom, you've got a decision to make. You want to teach that little person to behave and have good manners and wipe their mouth and, you know, fold their napkin on their lap and use the fork properly and, you know, instead of stabbing and, you know, this kind of thing. But you have a moment of decision. You're going to just say, bleh, and people are going to go, are you kidding me, Mom? It's a good moment. Here's another one. Mom, your goal is to raise your children to be good students and smart. Fair enough. But you also know there are some memories to be made by declaring the day to be a holiday and taking your kids to OMSI or the zoo or whatever, a pool. And you got a choice to make. What are you going to do? For the record, my mom used to let me take months off of school. Just kidding. Here's one more. Your goal, Mom, is good nutrition in your people. You want them to learn the food groups and to have proper portions of each of the food groups. But you also know that your child wants dessert first, correct? And so you got a choice to make. What are you going to do? Mom, have you ever just said, you know what? We're going to just have dessert tonight. Ask Debbie about that one, all right? Just bust out the, okay, what's for dinner? 4 kinds of ice cream. Let's go for it, you guys. And it made a memory well into the night. But anyway, I love the signs that were up here a few minutes ago because they're signs that display some of the many hats that moms wear. Bottom line, you do so many things. And that was our purpose in doing that, We just took a little spattering, a little sampling of the things you do. You wear so many hats. You fulfill so many roles. Mom, that's what this day is about, to honor that. But my encouragement is that you remember to wear them with a smile. A playful spirit is hard at times, especially if you're at a hard season in motherhood. I know also what I'm advising this morning before we open the Bible and actually see that what I'm saying is sanctioned by God himself. I know it's easier for some of you who are from fun country, okay? You are, I could name names right in our gathering this morning. You love to play. You love to have a blast. You laughed the loudest when the minivan scene on that video looked like it did, because you're thinking that is, I didn't know they were filming. You know, it's part of life for you, and it's easier for you, what I'm about to challenge all moms with this morning. But it's valuable for all moms, especially some who have their blouse in a bundle. I mean, look, it's easy to be that way because it's so serious. But let's get past that this morning, okay? Let's go with, it's serious, but let's go with, hey, let's find a way to have a laugh along the way. And the Bible agrees. I want to show you a single verse and then develop it in a couple other places. Open Proverbs to chapter 17, verse 22. And if you're seated next to your mom, why don't you do her a favor and you open it for her. Let's not let her do a lot of work today. Proverbs 17, 22. Laughter is, as the video suggests, one of the most important things you need as a mom. And the Bible agrees. Verse 22 of Proverbs 17. A cheerful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones. A cheerful, or some versions say joyful, heart is good medicine, but a broken spirit dries up the bones. So let's think about cheerful hearts for a minute. A happy, joyful heart, we're told by God, is good medicine. Every child knows that mom knows medicine. Doesn't matter if it's a headache or a tummy ache or a heartache. Moms do drugs. I mean, they do. That didn't come out right. That did not come out. They're good at dispensing medicine. Right? You do it a lot, Mom. And the Bible, beyond Mom's medical competency, the Bible is actually saying something very deep and profound. Joy and laughter are like good medicine. They're like dispensing something that is timely and effective in the moment. In this case, I'm suggesting for moms. So, raising a good question. What does God know that we haven't learned so well about laughter? He's talking about it, and he's saying it's a good thing. What is it that God gets about laughter that we don't quite know? Well, I came across some statistics. These are just some observations, okay? Children laugh, on average, 400 times a day. A new family moved in across the street from us. They have 4 children from 9 to a little teeny Shirley Temple. She's about 3, with all the curls to go with it. And they absolutely adore Peyton, even though Peyton routinely treats them like bowling pins and just boom, it's just, you know, and they just, it's a blast, okay? I know what that statistic's like for the last, it's like 8 months, 9 months. Laughter and the level of laughter on our street has wonderfully increased. so that there's just, and they're crazy things. They're just, you know, it's stuff that, you know, it's been gone for 12 years, 15 years, because my kids don't, you know, write with sidewalk chalk anymore. And it's just, it's wonderful, and it's really fun to watch. Now, adults, you know how often the average adult laughs a day? 15 times. 400 to 15. What happened along the way? We got all kinds of theories, but could it be that kids they haven't learned how to worry? They're not concerned about the stock market or the, you know, the report back from the doctor or the, you know, they don't have the cares that adults have. Here's a second observation. The name Norman Cousins comes to mind, who was a doctor in yesteryear, and he wrote a book. It kind of shocked the medical community because in those days, medicine was, well, all about medicine. And this is the drugs we use, these are the surgical interventions we use, and so on and so forth. But he came along and said, hold on, there's a whole other kind of medicine. And it's laughter, his very words. Love, hope, faith, and laughter are all of therapeutic value. So when I go in a visitation in somebody's hospital room, I will often, no matter how many tubes, I will find a way to lighten it a little. I will find a way to sort of bring out some of the, obviously, faith. That's why I'm there and we pray together. There was a day when that was dismissed and discounted as, oh, we're here to do medicine. Now often you take the hand of a doctor while we're praying over a patient. It's cool. If I could be a comedian, I would be one in certain visits like that. Because there's something happening, and I don't have to understand it to appreciate it. By the way, did you know that you can lose weight laughing? I didn't either. I just made that one up, okay? So, but anyway, here's another observation. There's a Jewish proverb here. Asserts, what soap is to the body, laughter is to the soul. That's good. And here's something that will bring it back down to reality. Joy is possible even when life is painful. Do you agree with me? You have Jesus as an example, who sends out 72, we're told. This was early in his ministry. The only known years of his life, virtually, are the 36 years of his final 36 months of his life. We know those well because of the Gospels. They all emphasize that. And during those 36 months in Luke chapter 10, we're told that Jesus says, okay, you two, and you two, and you two, and he sends them all out. And then they come back, and they are filled with joy. And the text says, and so was Jesus. Now, if you've been given a death sentence, not recorded yet, but you know in your heart, in less than 36 months, you're going to die, and it's not going to be pretty. I know my instincts at that moment is to get a long face. To begin to pack around a heavy heart. I'm not saying he didn't, but I'm saying that joy is possible even when circumstances aren't necessarily joyful. And that's not unrealistic to suggest that. I'm not giving you a sort of a secular humanistic lift. I'm saying God modeled that for us. Jesus, filled with the Holy Spirit, had joy in spite of the pending pain that he was about to face. And so can moms. It can be hard to do your job. In fact, sometime someone called motherhood the hardest job you will ever love. I like that. But because of the presence of the Holy Spirit in the heart of the believer, the mom in this focus this morning. Because of the presence of the Holy Spirit, the fruit of his presence can flow from your life. Remember the list in Galatians 5? Starts out, love. What's second on the list? Joy. And peace, and patience, and kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. What an incredible list. And it would be nothing more than a heavy load if I were to suggest, Mom, now go out and do all that. Because you can't. In fact, the intended outcome there is to cause you to say, I need him. So in control of me that the fruit flows. That joy happens as I'm yielded to him. There's an actor I became aware of recently. His name's Bruce Marciano, and he's best known for his portrayal of Jesus. I've often thought about guys that are selected to play Jesus, and usually my thought is they're probably picked because of the way they look. And that's probably true in his case, too. He's a real handsome guy. I'm surprised they haven't called me yet. But anyway, they picked this guy, right? And he's a good-looking guy, but he's not such a soft look that you just go, man, I can't imagine him tipping over tables or rebuking the Pharisees and so on and so forth. So he seemed like a pretty good match. I started reading about it's called the Visual Bible film series, and it was wildly popular. And just a few years ago. And as you would expect from an actor picked to play the part of Jesus, he did what to prepare? He read everything he could read about Jesus and then read it again and then read it again. And he asked questions and he digested the role, the character that he was to play. I should tell you, the bias from which he approached this task was as a believer. He loves Jesus. But this was his conclusion. Listen to his words. Yes, yes, Jesus smiled. Jesus laughed. Jesus smiled wider and laughed heartier than any human being who's ever walked the planet. He was young. He radiated good cheer. Jesus was a man of such merriment, such gladness of heart, such freedom and openness that he proved irresistible. People just flocked to him. He became known throughout Galilee for his genuine strength, for the sparkle in his eye and the spring in his gait, the heartiness in his laugh, the genuineness of his touch, his passion, playfulness, excitement, and vitality, his joy. Mom, are you getting this? This is good stuff. You can be all those serious things as a mom and still follow this model. He concludes, Jesus made a dazzling display of love. He sets hearts afire. He was an elated, triumphant young man with an incredible quality of life, so different from the solemn religious types he constantly encountered. Mom, you're going to be known for a lot of things, mostly good. If you had your way, it'd be all good. But you're human. It's like I'm human. You can have high ambitions, aspirations, but there's those days you'd love to just peel from the page, you know? And that was not me at my best. You're going to be mostly successful, Mom. I believe that. But you're going to make some mistakes. And you're going to be known, hopefully, as a mom who smiled a lot. And minimize those occasions where you scowled. Can I suggest making the scowl the exception? Don't be known for that. Be known for that mom or grandma or wherever you are in this journey. Is that yes face? Sure, you want ice cream? Let's have it. You know, that happy face. You know, some moms, can I gently admonish a few? You need to get rid of your lemon mouthwash. Because it's showing. Don't try, by the way, to dispense the medicine that we're talking about here this morning. The medicine of joy in your own power. Jesus made it clear where a mom's joy, where anyone's joy comes from. I want to have you connect some dots in the last couple of minutes here. See if you don't obviously connect the dots. Be of good cheer, Jesus told his disciples. Then he added this, there are tribulations in this life. Conspicuously missing, he didn't mention the challenge of raising children. But he says broadly, there are tribulations in this life. Be of good cheer, for I have overcome. Now circle that dot in your memory. And then I want you to turn from Proverbs to John, the fourth gospel, John chapter 16. And I want you to connect it to a second dot here this morning. John 16, verse 16. I just want to read a small section from this scene. And I want you to just sort of be a detective while I read this and look for, make note of, mental note of the occasions that joy is mentioned here, okay? So Proverbs 16, verse 16, in a little while you will see me no more. Now that's not a way to start off a happy talk. In a little while I'm going away for good. You won't see me again. That doesn't feel good hearing that. Then after a little while, you will see me. Oh, okay. Some of his disciples said to one another, what does he mean by saying, in a little while, you will see me no more, and then after a little while, you're going to see me? And because I'm going to the Father. They kept asking, what does he mean by a little while? We don't understand what he's saying. Jesus saw that they wanted to ask him about this, so he said to them, are you asking one another what I meant when I said, in a little while you will see me no more, and then after a little while you will see me? I tell you the truth, you will weep and mourn while the world rejoices. You will grieve, but your grief will turn to joy. A woman giving birth, not by accident does he point to this scene, a woman giving birth to a child has pain in that moment because her time has come. And when her baby is born, she forgets the anguish because of her joy that a child is born into the world and indeed into her life. So with you, now is your time of grief, but I will see you again and you will rejoice, and no one will take away your joy. In that day, you will no longer ask me anything. I tell you the truth, my Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. Until now, you have not asked for anything in my name. Ask and you will receive, and your joy will be full, will be complete. Did I mention to you John chapter 13, 14, 15, 16, and 17 were all written hours before he was arrested and later that night crucified. Wow. I circled all the times. He's talking about joy. Incredible. Nehemiah shared his secret. Here's a third dot to connect it to. Chapter 8, verse 10. His secret for his strength when he went back to Jerusalem and rebuilt the ruined walls. These are words many have memorized or thought about. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Did you know that 105 times in the Psalms, it's 150 Psalms, 105 times there are songs of praise and thanksgiving recorded for us. Isn't that cool? It's a repeating theme here. Jesus speaking of his close relationship also on this last night. Here's the last dot to connect. He seeks to have that close relationship, by the way, with anyone who's willing, including moms. And he says to his disciples back in chapter 15, verse 11, I've told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. What a great picture. I hope it's apparent, Mom, but in case it isn't, let me say it clearly. To know Jesus is to know joy. There is a one-to-one correspondence there. But I kind of like the way C.S. Lewis put what I just said. Listen to his words. It's not so much the joy of the Lord that we are seeking as the Lord of joy himself. That's big. I have a vision verse I want to leave you moms with this morning. Psalm 37, 4. Anyone want to just shout it out? You know how it goes? It starts out with a joy word. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desire of your heart. Exactly. Let's try that together, moms. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desire of your heart. You know how that connects? Your heart's desire is to be the best mom your child could possibly have, right? And if that's your desire, then the pathway to that outcome, to having that desire of your heart, is to delight, to take joy in Jesus. What a cool, simple formula. What you want to be the best you can possibly be, to build that life, is a good and worthy goal and desire and passion. No doubt about it. And the way to have that is to be so dialed into Jesus that it flows into that. The image of Mary comes to mind in the New Testament when she sat at Jesus' feet and said, you know I got a lot to do. And what mom can't say that on any given day? I got a lot to do. But I'm going to do it at your feet, Jesus. Happy Mother's Day. Let me pray. God, thank you for this privilege of speaking to people that I deeply respect. Some are stars. They've done a stellar job. They're sort of moms that other moms seek to emulate. And others think, man, I'm too young to be a mom. I'm a single mom. I can't remember the last time I laughed. But I pray that instead of trying to go out and plug in laughter to her repertoire, that you would help moms to delight in you, Jesus. And that you would take from that delight and cause it to spill over and infuse the rest of what mom does with her people with the joy of Jesus. And I pray that for the rest of us, God, who are not moms, that the same truth would be revealed in our lives. We'd be men and husbands, and workers, students. We like the idea of being good at what we do, but help us to see that that really is a fruit of a friendship with you. Thank you, Jesus. Thanks for our moms. Let's respond in worship.